What's the matter, Dave?
I know it may sound ridiculous, but I mean, I know it's like, you know, a month later, but I still can't get over how bad Rise of Skywalker was, guys. I mean, I feel like a part of me died with that movie.
Yeah, I know the feeling. Been in an insane spiral ever since, just trying to pull myself out.
I mean, your sessions down at the blown out YMCA, Ryan, they help a little, you know, the group therapy sessions.
Oh yeah.
But they can only do so much. I don't know, guys. I don't even know why. I don't even know if I can do this mission anymore of watching movies and reviewing them for The Wasteland.
Don't say that, Dave.
I can't help it. It was so bad.
Maybe there's another sci-fi movie we can watch that'll scratch that Star Wars itch.
Yeah, let's go through the chat list and let's just see if maybe we can pull something up. But what kind of movie should we look for? Like another kind of sci-fi kind of adventure?
Well, something like Star Wars, you know, so it's got to have droids.
Okay. Yeah, droids. So robots.
Robots, all right.
Lasers.
Lasers, okay.
Maybe this may seem obvious, but space?
Space, okay.
Spaceships. Space. Some cool spaceships.
Okay. Cool spaceships, all right, cool.
Made by Disney, of course.
Made by Disney. Okay.
Whoa, that's risky, Mike.
Yeah, all right, I'm about to hit enter. Here we go. Hold on to your butts.
In the not-too-distant future, four movie fans awaken from a nuclear nightmare, only to discover that the world is a barren, movie-less wasteland. However, the destiny of our four heroes is not set. A chance discovery in Sector 2 and an unfortunate accident that rips the very soul from one of their own will lead them down the path of bringing the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
Chad brought up a movie called The Black Hole.
Well, that sounds exciting.
Have you guys ever heard of this?
No, but there is a pretty badass pinball machine called Black Hole, so I can only assume that a machine that cool is based off of a movie equally as cool. I'm in. Ryan, I'm in. Let's fucking do it.
Let's watch it.
Chad, load up Black Hole.
Affirmative.
There is an inexorable force in the cosmos where time and space converge. A place beyond man's vision, but not his reach. It is the most mysterious and awesome point in the universe, where the here and now may be forever.
On my ship, you ask.
It is unavoidable. Moving through space, swallowing everything in its path, radio waves, light.
Are you programmed to speak?
Even planets and stars. Now.
Gravity's at maximum, Dan.
My God, I think it's got us.
Man is about to enter.
We got a break here, too.
The black hole. Journey that begins where everything ends.
All right, that was Black Hole, and
sure was.
I would just like to start off by apologizing, you guys. I don't know about you, but this movie was a slog.
I don't know if you noticed, Dave, but I was in the middle of writing my resignation notice to the store as this was winding down.
I feel like the last few episodes you started off with, I don't know about you. This, I'm sorry, guys. This has been like...
We watched a few... our records have not been amazing the last few episodes. There's been some... You remember
I'll
Santa
take
Claus
the blame
the
on this one. Hey, that's a good movie. that's a good bad movie.
I'll take the blame on this one. But this one was, I would say, pretty much. Well,
I'll take the blame on this one for making us watch this. Because I feel like it felt like a lost Disney kind of failure, and I was like, oh, what is this thing?
I mean, yeah. It's like a different part of time. It's almost like an alternate history where, like, Disney in the end of the 70s, beginning of the 80s, you know, Walt Disney was dead. Michael Eisner wasn't there yet. There wasn't like a clear direction of where it was going. They're all just kind of like shooting everywhere. And this was very much like that. It's like, what's popular? Star Wars. Let's make one of those. And they crap this out. It doesn't do well. Like, this could have been sort of the last gasps of Disney as a company. And it's kind of crazy. They eventually rebounded. And, you know, before it all went down, I mean, as we all know, everything was owned by Disney. So it's wild to see, you know, before we all had our Disney chip and our Disney credits and we were buying Disney milk at the store, what could have been different? You know, this could have been it.
This is basically Disney like on the ropes after this,
yeah.
Like, or during this. I mean, the 70s were not kind to Disney. I mean, they had, I guess, popular movies like Robin Hood and Fox. Well, I don't want to, well, like Fox and the Hound was, I think, the 80s. But
yeah, but those weren't popular, though. Like, they didn't do so well, I think, those movies.
Well, this is definitely their slump period. And this is clearly them. Like, they still got money. Disneyland's still popular. So it's like, all right, Star Wars came out.
I read an interesting stat that around this time, 70% of the revenue for the whole company was in the parks.
I believe it. Yeah, the movie studio was definitely in a slump. And I remember looking back. I remember when they released Disney Plus and they had all these old, like really old TV movies that Disney put out and stuff like that. Really weird fucking movies from the 70s. And I'm just like, oof. Like, I remember clicking through the titles and just going, oof, oof, what a bad period for Disney. And I'm just like, no wonder there was a black hole for Disney, so to speak, during this period of just shit.
Yeah.
And like, it's amazing that they rebounded the way they did in the late 80s with Little Mermaid and the whole Disney Renaissance.
It's funny we're talking about.
This movie is definitely a black hole and not the, I'm speaking figuratively and.
It's funny we're talking about it in this context. The tagline of the movie is, a journey that begins where everything ends.
Yeah, that's so fitting for this movie.
Yeah, I can agree. It is a slog, and I won't lie. I definitely dozed off in the middle of it a couple times.
I wish I did.
The end, yeah.
Crazy.
Why don't you describe for all of us what is this?
So no
movie?
One saw this.
Oh, I'm going to ask the person who fell asleep. What's the plot to the black hole?
Well, so it came out 79. It's actually, I'll give the plot for a second, but this came out the same week as another people consider a slog. Star Trek, the motion picture, came out the same week as this movie.
Very similar movies.
Yeah. and basically Disney at one point could have made the Star Wars movies, but didn't make them, you know, at this time. And they were like, shit, we should have cashed in on that. And I went in this movie thinking it was more of a Star Wars ripoff. And I realized it kind of becomes that later in a way. And there's elements of it, but it's not necessarily that. It's not an adventure movie at all.
I read
it's
that more this was like a script that had been kicking around for a while. And I could definitely see this being a script that they shoehorn Star Wars stuff into.
Oh, for sure. And basically what it's about is like a group. And it kind of reminds me of both Interstellar and Ad Astra, which I just had watched, you know, back in 2019. I don't know if you guys, didn't it kind of remind you of that? Kind of like a people looking for another place to have an Earth, basically.
It was like, more just like Star Trek to me, like that this was kind of Star Trek-y and a little bit maybe like Alien, where you're coming across the derelict spaceship kind of thing.
Yes, the whole idea of discovering a derelict spacecraft and it having some sort of significance or history, like that was really big, like 20 years ago type of thing. Like, I feel like that's a sci-fi trope.
Yeah.
Of like a crew happening upon a once famous spaceship that's been missing.
I think
years,
it's funny to
what befell the crew of this ship.
It's funny
story.
To compare it to Interstellar too, because that's a movie that's all about like I think at its core, Interstellar is sort of about like the wonder of space and like, oh, look at all these crazy things. And this has potential to be that. I mean, it's called the black hole, but it's just like there, and it's like doesn't they never do it? It doesn't. There's
exactly.
No wonder. There's nothing.
It's like, what are they going to get to the fireworks factory? Yeah. Like it's the whole.
Oh, I was thinking that the whole movie. Like, are they ever actually going to go into the black hole?
Yeah. So basically, it's almost like Swiss, the Lost in Space family, you know, is on like a ship, and they basically come across another ship when near a black hole. And it kind of reminded me of like playing Faster Than Light of like, let's go on the ship and see if anybody's alive. And it turns out that it's like almost an empty ship, but they discover there's one guy, the captain, left on board. And he's basically been studying this black hole and deciding to go into it, I suppose.
One guy
but there's
in an
also
army of robots.
Yeah. And then, I mean, spoiler alert, it turns out the robots were his ex-crew that he turned into like zombie robots.
Some of the robots.
Which is a crazy.
Some of the robots looks like were real robots.
There's some crazy robots in this movie. Like, it is.
I will say this for the movie. I think, I have a soft spot for 70s era sci-fi production design. Like the big wide open hallways and everything is super big, like super tall hallways and shit like that, and super giant rooms. Like, I have a soft spot for this sort of aesthetic.
It's crazy though to think like this feels like it came out before Star Wars did. Like, Star Wars ruined movies.
Especially
like this.
The droids. The droids in this movie are, so we should talk about one of the characters of the crew that we're following is named Vincent, which
I like as a name for a robot, I think is a good name for
and,
a robot.
And it's totally like everything wrong with, like, it's like they made every wrong decision where George Lucas and Star Wars made everything right with R2-D2. Like, number one, R2-D2's name is not like on him, but they put Vincent, like Vincent 2000, like on him. And Vincent apparently stands for vital information necessary and then just centralized, and sent is centralized. It's so dumb.
The worst thing is those stupid eyes they put on that robot.
Oh my god, those blank staring eyes.
Why did they put those eyes on that stupid robot? It looks so dumb.
Well, it's so dumb. That was the one element of Star Wars that they directly put into this script that was obviously like at least 10 years old. Like, that's the only thing. Everything else, and this is a mistake that a lot of studios made, I think, around this time, especially with Star Trek. They're like, all right, Star Wars came out, it was a hit, we need more sci-fi shit. The only thing they missed was Star Wars was sci-fi fantasy.
Yeah.
And I mean, they really amped up the fantasy aspect. Like, a lot, I think in the minds of the studio heads at the time, they're like, just put science fiction, but we'll just throw a lot of money at it like they did with Star Wars and it'll be good. Whereas it's just like, no, like science fiction at the time was very different than what Star Wars was. Star Wars was very old sci-fi, like fantasy, with an emphasis on fantasy. It's fun.
It's like a Western.
And there's action. Whereas this is like, this is old school sci-fi. This is 2001-esque.
Yeah, it's more like 2001.
Just because you threw a lot of money at it is not going to make it Star Wars.
This is like, yeah, this is, you're going to have a dinner scene under a chandelier with your villain in a beard while he's like waxing philosophically about like why we must discover to learn truth.
I don't know what they said in any of those things. Like, any scenes when they're sitting around talking, I glazed over. I'm not going to lie.
They say the same thing like 50 times. It's like, it's the same scene. It's like,
repetitive.
Why are you still here? Like, you were supposed to come back. And it's like, but I'm on the verge of a new discovery. And I feel like they're never really clear with what it is. Like, he said, like, I'm going to go through the black hole. I'm like, and then what? Like, if it's going to take you somewhere, like, you're going to be stuck there. Or, like, is there something you're going to find over the, like, that? It's never like so many things in this movie.
He never says, like, there's never that explanation, like, oh, we could find cures for diseases.
Well, he
like
does
that.
Say he's
like,
going to live forever. He
shit.
Said he does say, like, it's immortality, but that's just like I don't think that line ever goes anywhere.
I don't want to spoil Ad Astra if you haven't seen it. Do you care, or do you think
I don't care.
It's really similar to that. Basically, in that movie, it's, you know, Brad Pitt basically wants to talk to his dad, who is on a mission over by Neptune, you know, that was basically to find extraterrestrial life. And he's there alone too, basically. And he's kind of like, I'm going to find it. And he has basically, you know, he just thinks he's going to find something, and he's kind of just lost out there. And that's what this reminded me of a little bit, of just like a lost soul, you know, kind of thing. It's not really good or interesting in this movie, but it was really good in Ad Astra. Yeah. If you haven't seen that, but, I don't know. It's really strange. There's a lot of ideas in this movie, and there's things I started liking toward the end. I think the last half an hour is kind of good, campy fun in a way, but you are so just glazed over for the first hour, I think, of this movie.
I thought we were an hour in when I checked, when I put the time on the screen. We were only 40 minutes in, and it felt like
the movie's short.
In. I was like,
it's only an hour and a half, and
it's only an hour and a half long, but it feels
like a 5-minute
has an overture too.
Yeah.
An overture for a movie that's only basically 90 minutes. Something's wrong here, guys.
And can we talk about this? So the score is composed by John Barry of Bond.
Love John Barry.
I think it's like fucking awful. Like, it sounds to me like he's like, this is Kmart John Williams. And not only
it's not one of
not
his
only
best,
is it like the music
yes.
itself generic, it is so bafflingly used. In particular, the action scenes. It destroys all the tension, because it's basically like, if we're talking Star Wars, in the middle of the action scene, it's playing the music you'd expect to hear when they're getting their medals. The resolution theme is like triumphant win, but we're in the middle of the action scene. Like, so it just like takes all the possibility of attention away, because it's just, well, clearly they're going to win. This is the triumphant music theme.
Yeah,
it's such a bummer, because I love John Barry. His scores for the Bond movies were fantastic.
I think it's nuts. It's kind of funny, like, seeing how much of a beautiful accident Star Wars was, because it could have been this, you know, like it could have been, and where just like the music works perfectly, and the sound effects and the robots work perfectly, and the acting, even when it's campy, works. It's like everything is wrong in this movie, really. And there's some, I have a list of things I do like, but.
What Star Wars has is a sense of fun. This one is literally, it's like the tone they're going for is boring.
Well, quips from Vincent?
As an old Navy hero once said, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead.
Yeah, I started liking Vincent and him floating around a lot toward the end of the movie.
But he was the most likable character. He was the most entertaining.
This movie is about the robots,
and
the humans are getting in the way.
Yeah, the dynamic between Vincent and then the Slim Pickens robot. I love that so Vincent,
old Bob.
Vincent meets an older model, and the older model is like a Southern dumb accent. And it's Slim Pickens. I think it's literally him from Dr. Strangelove, the guy on the bomb.
Oh, I think you're right. Yeah, and he's in Blazing Saddles, too.
It was Slim
too.
Pickens, but he was uncredited.
Oh, wow.
It's, like, so weird. Like, it's, like, why would they program this robot to have this voice? And, like, I did laugh, like, just you see this robot, he's all, like, beat up and old-looking, and then when you first hear his voice, like, hey, guys, I'm an old robot.
It looks crazy. Like, it looks like a potato head or something, like a Mr. Potato Head.
It's funny too.
Like, it looks like a toy.
It looks like a toddler's toy.
Yeah, it does. Like a Fisher Price toy.
And he's like something. Talking about how the other robots were beating him up, and he's like, you know, the things they did, I don't even want to speak of them.
I could see, though, if I was a kid and seen that robot float around with them, I would love the shit out of that, because that looked fun. Like, that little
thing. They should have got to that stuff quicker. Yeah. Like, it's almost like, I think the Disney elements and the Star Wars ripoff elements, mostly the droids, just they feel inserted in and they don't jive with the rest of this movie, which is setting up like a Star Trek episode of like, oh, you know, we found this derelict ship and it's a mystery, and oh my god, the twist is the crew that we thought were dead were turned into robots, and now he's gonna kill us and the guy's crazy.
It's totally
like this would have been a perfect hour long TV show episode.
Yeah, and then there's these weird hijinks with droids having like target practice, like competition.
Yeah, that's like,
yeah, those were the Disney.
That's
elements.
Like such a weird thing too, because they've like established that there's like something not going on right here, but then they decide to like leave Vincent in a target practice. Like they're like playing, like the robots start like
that was so
playing
bizarre.
And like, why are you doing this? And like there's even like the thing of very much like stretching for time, it feels like, of we see the robots like shoot, like they're not just doing target practice, like they're doing like a game, and the one
they're doing tricks. That one guy's shooting behind his back.
Oh, it's so funny.
Like, shooting behind his back, yeah, and like
so weird.
Vincent comes up and is like, "Mind if I take a crack at it?" And like,
did you see the part where he, instead of like spinning his guns like RoboCop, he like just moves them like right, like it's like. It's like he just like moves them around, like just shakes them, like
he just shakes them real fast. Can't actually shake them, so he just goes whoop whoop whoop.
And this is another thing I was thinking about. You know, you're talking about the accident of Star Wars. These outfits on the robots are really not color aside, not that different than like Stormtrooper outfits. But they're because they're supposed to be robots. It's like ridiculous, and it looks
they walk like robots,
but it's clearly like, it's people. Like, it's definitely
people. What's a robot look like? You're supposed to move like this, all right?
Yeah, and like the idea of like stormtroopers of like no, they're people makes it work. If like the idea of trying to make them robots, I feel like is a choice that is there's no coming back from it.
Like even
I feel like those robots specifically, the Stormtrooper-esque robots were added in. I feel like the one robot that was probably in this story from the beginning was the Max robot. But like there's something else going on. Like this, you got these Disney moments interspersed with like fucking former humans sending off, you know, one of their own like in a capsule and shooting it off into space. Like we just witnessed a robot funeral. Like there are two different movies going on here with separate tones.
Yeah. It's it was kind of fun though to see Anthony Perkins, freaking Norman Bates in this.
Yeah, and he had like, a cool death.
And that was I didn't expect that.
I was not expecting that. Yeah. Again, I this got me thinking like, why did Disney think, oh, this will be the one that'll compete with Star Wars? This will be our Star Wars. Like, sure, it's got a guy getting like grinded apart by a fucking robot, but nah, that's all right.
Maximilian.
The way his body falls down and like all these like an explosion happens or something, I'm like, God damn, this is harsh for Disney.
Yeah, his death is like basically a meat grinder to the chest, and then he's like shoved down onto this like electrical like generator and just like electrocuted as his body like ragdolls.
Yeah, and then there was also Robert Forster that was in Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul and stuff like that.
Which one was he?
He was the other guy. He was basically the vacuum salesman in Breaking Bad.
Okay.
And then he's also in the El Camino movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's like the guy, the vacuum cleaner salesman that basically gives you a new identity kind of thing. He's like one of my favorite characters in Breaking Bad. He's basically the most professional character that Walter White comes across, you know? And yeah, I don't know. I've never seen him really in any other movies other than like Jackie
Brown.
Please
don't talk about better things while we're talking about Black Hole. You're just making me wish I could have watched that for the last hour and a half.
What about Ernest Borgnine's hilarious acting?
When the credits came up and it's like, and Ernest Borgnine as, I was like, oh boy. Like I was shaking, like moving my hands together. I was like, ooh, this is going to be good. But he wasn't really. The movie didn't allow him to be Ernest Borgnine. I mean, he's like turncoat guy at the end where he's like, all right, guys, I'll wait for you. Fuck you guys, I'm out of here. And then he blows up and causes the whole chain reaction or whatever. I was expecting Ernest Borgnine, because in this era, Ernest Borgnine, he was in a lot of those disaster movies. He's like, you know, a very lively character actor. You know, he's always like, he's very bombastic and stuff and a very big presence. And I think they rob him of that in this movie. He's very boring.
Yeah.
Everyone's boring in this movie.
When you say that disaster, like, I mean, in reading in the Chattopedia, that's what they were, the original scripts were kind of going for, was like this Poseidon Adventure in space, you know, kind of thing. And I kind of...
It took way too long to get to that.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. Like, the last half an hour of the movie, when, like, the black hole's starting to suck in the ship, I'm like, this kind of would have been a fun, like, I don't know, could have been, like, a fun movie, I think.
Was the black hole sucking it into the ship, or were they just being, like, was a meteor storm just passing through?
Oh, I guess it was a meteor storm, yeah. I don't know, just...
And then that knocked them into
Yeah, they just,
the
like, safely park next to the black hole. And that's it's so funny to me, like, you hear this movie, like, it's called The Black Hole. You know, what possibilities might await. And it literally, the movie, you know, literally and metaphorically just parks next to the black hole and then spends the rest of the movie there.
And it's funny because you see it above Anthony Perkins' head in the background the whole movie. I'm just like, get to the black hole.
There's a good moment where the evil doctor mad scientist is giving his speech and the dinner with the chandelier above him, and he's like pointing out the window and you see the black hole and he's like, there, the black hole. And he's point at first when he points, it's like not at all where the black hole is.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. And then he like moves it over.
Moves.
Yeah, you can totally like
I saw that
to the left.
Yeah, it was that's too bad, 'cause I actually thought, I mean, it wasn't great when it got to the end, but I actually was having, I was like, oh wow, like I finally woke up toward the end of the movie. I don't know if you guys were did or not, but
well, it's clearly this is where the money went for the most part. I mean, I mean I'll say this for the movie, like you can tell the money's on screen. I mean, like the I mean, for the time, the model work I think is pretty good, especially when the beginning when they're like when they had the spotlight, when they're kind of just circling around this giant ship, like for the time that's pretty decent effects.
There's a really bad one though when they're on like the little just a little tram kind of like going through like a
green screen work was bad.
Yeah, that was like the only really like, and there's bad stuff throughout, but that was like the one where it was like really bad, you know, kind of thing.
I think the robots are the ones that are consistently like you know, don't hold up the most.
Yeah, but they're kind of fun still in a way, like they're stupid and goofy, but like, and except for those eyes, like that's just a bad choice, bad design choice. They didn't have Ralph McQuarrie designing their damn robots. Like they were just like, it'll be cute. I don't know. Like, and it's so funny because it's so much close to R2, but he floats. But R2 didn't have, he had an eye, like it looked like an eyeball, but it's not, doesn't look like fucking two Mr. Potato Head eyes glued to him.
The floating effect is cool. I think especially when it like spins, it does like the total spin, it's like, oh, it can't be strings, like
And I think you're right though, Dave, when you're talking about like the tones, like it could have like kind of a lighthearted Disney tone, I think could be good, you know, like, and it would be, I mean, it wouldn't really be like great, but I think it could be fun, you know. But it definitely feels like there's like this serious Star Trek episode happening that's not really that interesting with like this weird.
Well, and I think the biggest disparity between the tones is when at the end when they literally go to hell.
Yeah, they go through the black hole and it's like heaven. It's hell and then heaven, I guess.
It's insane.
My mouth was agape. I was like, I couldn't
believe it. I figured like it just his ship would explode or something like that. But you literally see him floating in space. He somehow like gets inside the Max robot.
Oh yeah. So there's like,
and then he's in hell on top of a fucking mountain with a mountain on fire and brimstone. I'm like, this is a Disney movie.
It is crazy. So yeah. So the main mad scientist, that was cool. He has like his bodyguard robot who's like the devil basically, and fights off our boy Vincent and old Bob was his name, I think.
Old Bob, yeah.
They like have a robot battle, which I think was kind of fun. It's goofy looking, but I was like, I'm finally on board with this movie with these robots fighting. And yeah,
something was happening. Like there was just too much build up. It's like, guys, we get it. There's weird shit afoot. Just keep going. This movie, again, this would have been perfect pace if it had been like an hour long. Because really, there's not a lot of story here. They find this derelict ship. They find out that, oh, this guy that came out here 20 years ago to study this ended up killing. I feel they could have gotten to these points a lot quicker. They just stretch it out so far.
Yeah, it's the wrong. The movie should have been almost like flipped. Like people, they take all the wrong lessons from Star Wars. We're like, oh, we just need some robots and some lasers. And they don't realize, like, just the beginning of Star Wars is, like, this insane magic trick, you know? Like, just the beginning of the ships flying over and, like, them being boarded and there's no dialogue is, like, this crazy thing that, like, that's the lesson you should be learning, you know? Where it just throws you into the action. Instead, it's just, like, people sitting around a dinner table, basically, talking for
Again, it's an like, hour. Pick a tone. It's like Star Wars, like from the get-go, it's like, oh, this is going to be a sci-fi adventure. This is going to be great and you know, and so forth. And you're going to have relatable characters like the farm boy and he goes on this big adventure. This is throwing in goofy robots in the middle of like what could be like a scary Event Horizon-esque movie where they find this guy who's gone crazy. He's turned his crew into like robot zombies and there's like literally a robot that's representing the devil. And then he literally becomes the devil at the end, literally in hell, and it's just like, guys, pick a movie.
Yeah, so this skips way to the end, but our heroes, I guess, are basically our family. What were the name of the family in Will Robinson and co, and from Lost in Space, go through the black hole. They're like, we're gonna go through the black hole, and hopefully he was right that it's gonna be great. and they basically had the 2001 instance where it's like showing their faces and like their kind of
and
vision.
Slow-mo, yeah. And they rotate the camera.
Yeah, it's so funny because it goes to each person and like their inner.
It
like,
even goes to Vincent.
Know, time.
It goes to the robot.
It went to Vincent. I died. I was just like, I was laughing so hard that it went to his fucking eyeballs. And then they end up in like going through hell and heaven. It's so weird. And that was kind of cool. The heaven thing with like the kind of chapel hallway it kind of went through. It was very 2001, but I don't know. I kind of enjoyed that visual, even though it was just like out of nowhere. But
and then it just ends.
Yeah, and then it's over. Well, they come across.
Which
end up
a lot
coming
of sci-fi
out.
Movies at the time did. Like, they made their point, and then they got the hell out of there. The movie just ended.
It reminded me of, now they're at the beginning of Star Trek Voyager, right? Isn't that, like, basically the premise for, like, Star Trek Voyagers? They get shot out to some far place in the galaxy, and now they have to get home.
I guess, but this movie also just basically makes it seem like, oh, they've made it to heaven, and things will be great now.
Well, it kind of, like, it just shows it's, like, another planet and a sun, and I guess the intention is like, I don't think you're like, that's Earth. I think it's just like that. They finally found the, another planet they could start life on or something. I don't know. That's what I'm thinking. It's like that. That's heaven is the new, new world, I guess. I don't know. Maybe I'm looking too much into it.
But things aren't, they
the
definitely
vibe
don't
I
say
mean, like
that,
you like, said, Mike, they give us the vibe that it's heaven. And hell.
And they don't say that like Earth is like an apocalypse. Like we get the feeling that everything's fine back on Earth.
In fact, they literally, it seems like they make a point of saying it's all same old, same
yeah,
old.
Yeah, they do say that. Yeah, like it's all same old, same old.
Yeah, it's weird. It's a, when they first walk into that main ship and you kind of see like there's like the robots kind of working and it's kind of colorful. I kind of liked the look at it for a minute, you know, and it kind of got old and kind of lame after a little while. But I don't know, there's some interesting set design, I think, at first, but it just doesn't really. You end up seeing this movie only has two or three locations, basically.
That's a big problem. So, that, again, you know, Star Wars, they go to a lot of different spots, and this one is like, we're just in the ship. It's like basically like a haunted house movie in a way.
Kind of, yeah. That's weird. That's interesting. Yeah, it's a strange one. I'm kind of glad I finally kind of saw it because I'm just like, it's been this movie that's kind of like doesn't exist. You know, and it's kind of fun to see that, like, wow, this thing really was shooting for it and really learned all the wrong lessons from a good movie.
What, Dave, you're a big Star Trek fan, right?
Yeah.
What do you think about it? You know, why does this not work and Star Trek does?
Well, because this doesn't have anything to say about, like, you know, heaven or hell or anything like that. I feel like that's sort of, like, stamped in there at the end. It's sort of like, oh, look how cool that, or, you know, it's like it's trying to make a point, but it wasn't really, it didn't earn that, you know what I mean? Like, whereas Star Trek, like, every episode has, like, a lesson or you know, or an allegory to something else. This one just, it just, I don't know. Like, to me, it mostly felt like a horror movie. This was a horror movie, a sci-fi horror movie with funny robots interspersed throughout. Like, this would have been a fine, just standard horror movie, like Event Horizon or something like that, with some spooks and stuff. Like, the, you know, I don't know. It just didn't earn the heaven and hell thing. Like, Star Trek is consistent. Like, it's going for a message, and you get the message at the end. This one was just a horror movie, and then at the end, they're like, ooh, it was heaven and hell the whole time. It's just like, you guys didn't earn that. Fuck you.
Yeah, and Star Trek has, like, fun characters, and with the exception of Vincent,
yes,
there's not really, and sometimes Anthony Perkins, but he's more just...
No, he was bad too. I feel
everyone was bad. I think everyone was bad. I mean, as cheesy as the robots were, at least Vincent had character. Yeah. Everyone else in this movie is just a blank slate. There's nothing to these characters, and that made it harder to watch.
Yeah, you can't really
these characters are so boring.
There's not really like a thing like about each one. They're kind of all the same. Even like the I don't remember her name, but the woman character in it, like all
who had ESP out of nowhere. Oh,
that was really funny. The way they were getting sucked in
or whatever. I was like, use your ESP to communicate with the robot of all things.
That's how they communicate, and that's like a plot device that comes back later. It's like that almost like probably why she's on the crew is like her ESP.
I don't even remember that.
Makes no sense. Why would you be able to communicate with an artificial thing through ESP? My understanding of ESP is, I don't know. I guess it stands for extrasensory perception or something. But my understanding was it's like that would relate to humans. Like you could telepathically.
They somehow would have had to program telepathy into Vincent. That's what they're implying.
I must have been sleeping during this moment.
This was like the first 5 minutes of the movie. This is like when the ship is like shaking and they have to go, like Vincent has to go outside to perform like a repair on the outside. It's like McCrae. That's the woman. It's Dr. Kate McCrae. It's like, McCrae, link up to Vincent with your ESP. And she's like, touches her head or whatever and is like, oh, he's out there right now. Yeah, it's a thing.
That was one of two what the fuck moments, or no, one of three what the fuck moments in this movie. Like, what? Because he just nonchalantly says,
use your ESP
to communicate with Vincent. I'm like, first off, ESP, like, isn't that between humans, like, not robots? I'm like, what the? And for them to just, like, throw that out there, like, typically with a movie like this, you get to know your characters, and that would have been a thing that would have been established that she has ESP.
Yeah.
But it is literally just tossed out there. Like, oh, yeah, use your ESP to talk with the robot.
Yeah, it strings like to me it's just smells like they didn't think it through. Like it's like, oh shit, how do we have the Vincent communicating with the crew? Like, I don't know, ESP, whatever. It's a fucking movie for kids.
Yeah.
This was not a movie for kids. This started out as a sci-fi horror.
Yeah. What
it sounds like it was like a screenplay that bounced around to like a million different people for like 10 years before it finally
stayed that way.
Well, no, there's the bones of an interesting story here, like exploring black holes. And I doubt that's something that was really a topic that was discussed much. I mean, I feel like this is an era in the late 70s where NASA was really coming about. They sent out the Voyager spacecraft. So it was on the minds of people at the time, like, you know, space and the far reaches.
It was kind of like, depressing, oh, like in the beginning of the movie when they're trying to identify the ship that they find. They're going through all the recent ships that had been launched. And it was depressing to, like, you know, we all know how it played out, but before people really like stopped losing interest, like people lost interest in space. Like they were like, oh, is this a ship that Russia launched? No, France? No. Like the US? No. Like no one's launching stuff anymore. Like no one ever did. Like they all just, you know, the only thing they launched were nukes or whatever the hell it was. But it's sad that it was, it was a time when people had interest in space, and I don't know if that ever really came back.
The closest we got to that was Elon Musk throwing a mannequin in a spacesuit in a car into space. If I remember right, that was the closest we got to interest in space again.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like... Yeah, it was probably toward the end. It was starting to dip around this time, really, because... Yeah, I can just imagine being a kid and you saw the trailer for this after you've seen Star Wars and you're like, oh man, there's a robot. Oh, this is going to be so cool. And then like you watch this and you would just,
maybe
die.
This is why like, people lost interest in space.
It was black hole that did it. I mean, from what I understand, this movie basically tanked. I mean, it had like a budget that was, I think, double that of Star Wars, and it maybe grossed, if at best, I think this movie broke even at
best. Yeah, the Chattopedia says it was a budget of $20 million with a box office of $35.8. I don't know if that's accounting, though. That budget is accounting for the marketing, which was pretty gnarly.
Well, and also, I feel like it's the same story like a few years later with Tron. Like, they dumped a ton of money into it, and it basically tanked.
What's crazy, though, is this was nominated for two Academy Awards.
Well, for visual effects.
Yeah, cinematography,
right?
And visual effects.
It certainly isn't getting nominated for best screenplay or best
cinematography, though? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm trying to
it
see.
Was that, I don't know. It wasn't the worst. I mean, it, to me, it felt pretty standard for sci-fi around the time. Like I mentioned, like the production design is very reminiscent of movies of this era. Like for whatever reason, it's just like if it's a sci-fi movie, all the hallways are going to be gigantic, like just these cathedral-esque rooms. And like I admit, like that shot when they walk in for the first time and they see like the inside of the ship of the. Whatever the fuck the name was. I already forgot. This movie's like slowly leaving my mind right now. I should say rapidly leaving my
That's
mind.
That's good.
But
That's
good. You see like the huge, you know, inside of the ship. And then when they walk into the control room and you have those guys like in those creepy looking gowns there. Admittedly, I thought there were some cool visuals in this movie.
I have to read the list of movies it was up against for cinematography in this Academy Awards. So we had 1941. Kramer versus Kramer, Apocalypse Now, The Black Hole, and All That Jazz.
One of these is not like the other.
Oh my God. Like All That Jazz, Apocalypse Now, and The Black Hole.
Wow.
And The Black Hole.
I'm surprised. It's like if they never, it seems like they were making this to make a ride at Disneyland or Disney World or something in a weird way.
Well, at the very least, the little monorail ride for sure.
Yeah, like a monorail ride. And then also like Vincent comes off as like a Disney, like a land creation for sure.
You can
totally picture that like being at the Disneyland. And then like I feel like they were
you through the ride line and stuff.
Yeah. And then it's like they ended up like somehow nailing Lucas to get Star Tours involved and did that instead. Like they could have the Star Tours could have been Black Hole the ride because like it has like a robot.
Yeah,
you
just
know,
the last 10 minutes of the movie or whatever.
Yeah, nobody would care. And that movie that ride would not exist anymore. You know, still, but it's crazy. Yeah, this is a weird one where it could have started a new dimension, you know, some other timeline, basically, if this movie did well.
Yeah, this is the beginning of in another dimension, though, that I feel like this is the beginning of the end for Disney.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
It probably set off two different routes, you know, one where it did well and or I guess it, I don't know, either this one that we're on right now, are we on the right timeline where Disney...
I think you know, broadcasting from the wasteland here, we're not at the best timeline.
Yeah. So maybe if Disney did fail after this, totally, we would have been in a better place. You know,
I feel like this is like a what Doc Brown would have referred to as a red letter date in the history of, well, he says science. I think in the history of history, it's like you got this movie with Disney like making Black Hole. Like I feel like the timeline could have skewed into a tangent, and Disney just tanked and didn't do anything. There was no Disney Renaissance. I feel like and then the next. Red letter date in history would be a Lucasfilm selling to Disney. Like I feel like that branched off into several different tangents, as Doc Brown would say. And who knows what timeline we're in right now? Yeah. It's obviously a bad one. I mean, I can only imagine other timelines and how shitty or good they were. But
it all comes down to Disney.
Yeah, it always comes down to Disney. But apparently, we got one of the shittier timelines, unfortunately.
It's not, this movie's not that great at all. Not good, but
there's very little to latch onto. Like, as I said before, there were a few like, what the fuck moments. The first one being,
I have a what the fuck moment, which I got, it was kind of funny. Cause I feel like I've heard this happen in real life, but our main baddie basically died from a plasma TV falling on him, you know?
Yes.
And I feel like I've heard like that happening, like a baby or something, like pulling the TV down on top of him or something like that. Kind of felt like that. It was kind of funny.
Well, certainly for the heaven and hell part, like literally like the guy turning into Max and then sitting on fire and brimstone was a what the fuck moment.
When we see him in hell too, doesn't he have like really long hair and like a huge, his beard's way longer?
Well, it was already like that, though.
I think it was just like, it was like more like pushed up or something, or more like it was like I don't know.
It was a gnarly image, to be sure.
Yeah, it's like just standing on the cliff, and then it's like, it just does a slow zoom out, and then it's like I don't know, demons walking around. It was weird. It's worth trying. If it's on, like, you know, the Apocalypse YouTube, see if you can find the end of the black hole.
Paco Tube.
Because it's like its own, the last 15 minutes of 2001. It's like its own, but it's only like 5 minutes long in this one. It's like its own moment like that.
But again, it didn't earn it. That's the thing. Like, that could have been, like, if this had stayed like a sci-fi horror film, that could have been an awesome ending. They could have made more allusions to the fact that that robot was basically like Satan or the devil or some shit, and that could have been a really cool payoff. But as it is, it's just, no, you guys didn't earn that.
Yeah, I was hoping this was going to be like a surprise, like one of those kind of like, oh wow, this movie actually was kind of like a cool little thing, you know, but it's definitely worth not existing, I think. I do have some information about a reported remake they were trying to do.
Do you want me to read about this?
Well,
to be fair, like, I feel like if you're going to remake a movie, make a bad movie that maybe had an interesting premise that you can do better.
So this says in 2009, it was reported that Disney had plans to remake The Black Hole with director Joseph Kosinski, who was the guy that did Tron Legacy and what was the movie with Tom Cruise? Oblivion. They were going to get that guy. And then by April 2013, John Spottis, I don't know how to say that name. He wrote the original draft for Prometheus before Lindelof came on board, did a script as well.
Oh, wow.
But I guess it says in 2016, it was announced that the remake was put on hold because Spottis, I can't even say his name. It's S-P-A-I-H-T-S is his name. I don't know. He says that he considered the script too dark for Disney. And then
it was too dark in 79.
Yeah. Says the black hole. This is a quote from him. Says the black hole was an amazing experience. This was one of those movies I was stuck on until I cracked the beginning and suddenly it just started to flow. I love that script. It sits uneasily in Disney's world as a dark epic, and Disney is in a very colorful place. They already have multiple big space epics going, so I don't know how or whether I'll find its way to the light of day, but I sure wrote a heck of a movie and I was thrilled to do it. So he said that's good. And then
if it maintained a solid tone throughout, this could be a good movie. Like
I don't understand,
like,
though.
This,
like,
I could see
just
this.
Make a new movie. Like, why do you need to reboot this?
Well,
or,
yeah,
I guess it would be like a new movie. I'm guessing it just would be the same name.
Well, they already made Event Horizon.
That's the thing. Like,
that's the best version of
this
movie.
That's basically this movie. Yeah.
I don't really like Event Horizon. I don't know.
I don't think it's great, but I think that's like...
Well, I think you're on the right track, though, Mike. Like, this movie has basically been remade several times.
Yeah, Inception, not Inception, Interstellar, I feel like, is...
And like, the black hole tanked. It didn't do anything, so there's no real name recognition.
Yeah, who's out there, like, clamoring for, oh, the black hole, they're rebooting it, ah!
Yeah, that would be a mistake. Just make a whole new movie.
I don't know. They can just that's what Disney Plus was for back then, is just to see what people are watching and see if there's info about it. You know, they're taking all our information to see what they should remake
about
next.
Data collection in those days.
Yeah, that's all it is. So
yeah, I remember the data collection on Disney wars, Plus. And that was.
I mean, it's all about data collection now. Like, we still ask people for some reason for their fucking phone number when they come into the store. They don't even have a phone number, but we still ask for it. I don't know why.
Yeah. I think Chad's been collecting a lot of data on both our customers and ourselves.
Yeah. He did try to kill us that one time. But...
One time?
Well, several times.
But... Yeah.
I mean, you guys are only hearing what the episodes we put out. There's a lot of shit happening in, but like behind the scenes that you guys don't even hear.
Yeah,
about.
I clock out of five.
I think if Chad, if he was in a Vincent type of robot, it'd be kind of nice. He kind of is our Vincent in a way, you know. And
he's more like a Max.
Yeah, I guess so. we wish he was more like Vincent, but he's more like Max.
He's a Max that pretends to be a Vincent.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way,
see, this movie has
old Bob, the old robot, old B.O.B., stands for Biosanitation Battalion. Just want to... That's real.
We stand a legend, old Bob.
Old Bob. What a great robot name.
See, that's funny. I don't know. There's something about that. Something funny about a robot named Bob and a robot named Vincent. I don't know. The humans get in the way in this movie. It should be a robot movie where they're doing trick shots. I think it could be fun.
I think the blaster sound is good. That's a good sound effect for a blaster.
Oh, speaking of sounds, did you guys notice that the doors in this movie were all from Star Wars?
No.
Yeah.
What's the sound?
It's the noise like on the Death Star. It's like the same sound effect.
Oh, wow.
The blasters look like two power drills like glued together, you know? like a power drill, like they both have the same kind of angle, you know?
Yeah.
On the bottom and the top. And they had those long lasers. Why didn't they learn? Like the long laser thing always looked lame. Like when you're shooting guns, like Star Wars did it perfectly. It was just like a bolt. Boof. And I don't know.
Well, Ryan, you might be pleased to know, according to the Chattopedia, of one of the various pieces of merch that was put along with this was a children's book that was called, a parallel story called The Black Hole, a spaceship adventure for robots. The story involves Vincent and old Bob exploring Cygnus, visiting its gardens, and encountering the humanoid robots and escaping detection by Maximilian.
That sounds
great. So that's out there. And maybe that's what the reboot was. Maybe they were rebooting it based off of Black Hole, a spaceship adventure for robots.
That sounds amazing. Like that. It sounds like a funny like album title or something. You know, instead of an adventure for robots, it'd just be like music for robots or something.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it right now. It's a little golden books thing. That's weird. Wow.
Maybe we should get one for the store.
The cover's amazing too. I don't know. Like it's actually looks really great. I don't know. I want one. It's on the Apocalypse Amazon. It's $6.68 used in acceptable condition.
Acceptable.
Acceptable condition.
Acceptable condition.
If you know, the cover, it looks great. And it's funny because Bob and Vincent, they look like two guys trapped inside of hiding inside of like an R2-D2 trash can kind of thing. Like, I don't know if you remember the Muppet Babies episode. It was like a Star Wars one. And one of the Muppet Babies was R2-D2. I forget which one it was, but his like eyes are poking out. That's what Vincent looked like. I don't know if you have that image or not. I might be the only one.
Yeah, I don't really watch Muppet Babies.
Oh, so good. So good. That was
once
better
again,
than this.
Ryan, please stop mentioning better things. It's like, it's just going to make me more angry that we watched this.
Sorry.
In fact, why don't we wrap this thing up? I'm tired of talking about this movie. It was so irritating, this movie. It could have been something, but like it just failed so miserably.
Yeah,
I try to usually be positive on these, but this one I unfortunately doesn't. It's worth forgetting about for
it's
sure.
It's just a slog. Yeah, just throw this movie into a black hole and never remember it. I'm sorry, Racelanders. Well, some of these, you know what? Our whole mission statement is bring the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland. It's also important. Sometimes we need to kill these movies. Like some of the movies we talk about, we need to banish, and this is for your benefit. It's like it's almost like, you know, putting up a sign in front of like a well, like beware a well, like beware a black hole.
Should
beware
we cordon
this
off this
Do
movie?
Not watch
in the store just to make sure no unsuspecting customers purchase it.
We got to find a way for Chad to destroy it somehow. I don't know, but it's like there could be other. It's like copies of this movie could exist out there in the wasteland. We just need to make sure they're aware to avoid this movie at all.
If you're listening and you have a copy of The Black Hole, send it our way and we'll destroy it for you for free. You know.
Yes, we're not even going to charge you. This. I mean, you know, we don't want anybody to fall.
We
into
have to
this
give back
hole.
To the to the wasteland community in some way,
or just like, you know, do a little bit of drugs, watch the last 5 minutes. You know, might be
and
fun.
Then send it over to us.
Yeah,
and but yeah, I mean, then we will destroy it for you. That's a service we need to start offering. Movie destroy. What's the term? Can we think of a clever acronym for that service?
Yeah. Chat for somehow for Chad's trash compactor function.
Should that be the next that thing we do for ones we just don't think are have any merit at all? is we destroy destroy the fucking thing, blow it up.
Destroy it and then offer a service to, if anyone finds it out in their wasteland, bring it on over, we'll destroy it for you.
What would have been other ones in the previous episodes we may have destroyed?
Santa Claus in the movie.
I kind of agree, but kind of don't. I don't know.
I'm with you, Ryan. I'm torn on that one because the last half of that movie is so. That's a movie you can get high and watch and enjoy yourself.
That's a weird one.
This was more of a slog, I'd say.
This was a slog. I wouldn't go as far as to say I want to destroy Wolf Cop. It was just sort of whatever. Ryan, I feel like you might want to destroy it.
You
have strong feelings on that.
I guess Wolf Cop isn't worth it either. This one and Wolf Cop are on the list.
I think this is the first. I mean, we've watched some kind of bad movies in the past, but I think so far that all the movies we've watched, this is the worst one. This is the one that I would want to create a service to destroy all copies of the movie. That's how bad this is.
I mean, I'm not for nothing, but no other movie inspired us to have this idea, you know.
That's true.
But we forgot that they do have like the little shootout little thing, the scene. I don't know.
It's too little too late, Ryan. I'm sorry.
He wiggles his guns in the air like he's spinning them, but he can't quite spin them, so he just moves them real fast.
He ain't no RoboCop.
He puts the gun in the leg. No.
Let's get to destroying. I want to wreck this fucking thing. I want to erase all copies of it out of existence.
Blow it up.
We got work to do, folks. So that's where we'll be. That's how we're going to end this episode. You can hear us literally destroying the copy of the movie as we speak. That's going to do it for this episode of Apocalypse Video. Again, not all of them can be winners. Some of these episodes are going to be warnings to you out there to avoid some of these movies at all costs. That's going to do it for this episode. I'm your host, David Snyder, signing off from Sector 2. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter. It's still active, believe it or not, at Apocalypse Video. And like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Apocalypse Video. I believe it's still run by the severed head of Mark Zuckerberg, right?
Yeah, he won't let it go.
Mark Hedberg.
You know what's cooler
still
than
your data hundreds of years into the future.
You know what's cooler than a million Terra people skulls? A billion.
You know what's cooler than not what? Sorry, I can fall for that.
You
joke.
Can probably cut what I said too.
God, this is must have been what it was like when you're riding the black hole.
I think we got it. What
people love
think?
The Social Network. Let's just let's put that line in there. They're saying it's the best movie of the decade.
Oh man, I bet we're gonna get some like shitty ripoffs based on that.
If one dances, one must pay the piper. If there's anything I cannot stand, it's a sore loser.